Acts chapter 8. Book of Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. I want to focus in on the meeting that Philip had with that Ethiopian man in Acts chapter 8. I love that account anyway. But I want to talk to you tonight about divine appointments, and I'll explain that in a moment. But I want to begin by asking you this question. You answer this in your heart. How many here that are believers think that God wants to use you and really can use you to bring others to Christ? What I'd like to do tonight, in just a few minutes that we'll look into this scripture, is I want God to stir your desire and build hope in you that you can be really used by God as His witness. If you have any doubt whatsoever. I give you opportunities on Wednesday nights like this to share witnessing opportunities that you have, because I want to be encouraged hearing it, and I want others to be encouraged, because this is what we're here for. I mean, that's why God has left us mainly on this earth, to be His witnesses. And just as surely as God used Philip in this passage to reach that Ethiopian, He wants to, and He can use you. You don't have to be a Philip to be used of God. All you need is to be keyed in to the divine appointments that God gives you on a regular basis. What is a divine appointment? What am I talking about? I'm talking about the fact that God arranges and God empowers you by giving you opportunities to reach lost people with the gospel. Divine appointments. God steers you into specific encounters or experiences that may appear a coincidence or random, so that you may be privileged to be a part of bringing others to Christ. And there are several parts that God uses to make up this process of divine appointments. You've turned to Acts 8 by now. I just want to quickly read, beginning in verse 26. The angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip, saying, "Arise, go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." And he arose, and he went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near, join thyself to this chariot." And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, "Understandest what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." And the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man?" And then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Heavenly Father, we need you, and we thank you that you have sent your Spirit right here into our midst. And He is our teacher, and He is the one that instructs us in the truth, because He's the author. We thank you for that. And so we look to you, and we pray that you will anoint us with both the ability to bring forth your truth as well as the ability to understand your truth. And I pray, Lord, that that would bring about exactly what you want to accomplish in our hearts tonight. Thank you for the time that we've already shared together in fellowship, and we've heard what you've done and what you're doing, and we're very grateful for that. But Lord, now continue that good work as we meet in Jesus' name and for His glory. Amen. So there are, I put down four main parts that really add up to this process of what I call divine appointments that God gives us to bring people to Jesus. And the first thing that I would mention is that we have His leading. We have God's leading in our life. That God is at work. That God is at work on both ends. He's at work in the sinner's heart. He's at work in the believer's life. And He's leading. He's trying to connect the believer with the lost person. God's always at work doing that. He's always trying to connect Christians with lost people. That's why it's not always the best policy to isolate yourself from unbelievers. Because God's put us here to reach them. And so we gotta have venues in our daily life where we cross paths with and where we can connect with lost people. And in that, God is leading. And we have to look, we have to be conscious of God's leading as believers. Believers must be conscious of God's always at work around you, and you must believe that He is at work around you, and you must be alert to be careful and to be faithful to always remember that God's at work around you, whether you're on an errand, whether you're at work, whether you're picking up something, a bite to eat, or whether you're at a gym, exercising, whatever you're doing, be aware that God is leading in all of this. That God is leading. Be conscious of the fact that, and to be careful and faithful to remember God's leading. Be conscious of that. Keep open to His leading. Be sensitive to the prompting and leading of the Holy Spirit throughout the whole day, wherever you are. You're not where you are, wherever it is, by accident. Even if you forget something and you got to go back to a store or whatever, it's not an accident. God is in this, and He wants you to think of it like that. He wants you to follow His leading. God is looking for, and He is desiring more and more that you come into such a personal relationship, a fellowship with Him, so that He can lead you and so that He can use you every day, wherever you are. You should be looking for God's leading in every situation you find yourself in during the day. So are you walking close enough with the Lord that you're able to recognize His leading you? Don't get sidetracked and don't get distracted by all the stuff. Keep in mind, be careful and faithful to remember God's leading in your life, that He's wanting to use you and connect you with lost people. He leads. That's why it's so important to spend time with Him before you ever head out the door, so that you're on the same page with the Lord. No pun intended. You're on the same page. He's speaking to you, and you've heard from Him, and you've spoken to Him, and you've communed with Him in your time alone, so that you're prepared then to look for and remember His leading. And you'll be looking for opportunities to talk about Him to other people. You have to be conscious that God is wanting to lead you throughout the day. So keep open and look for those opportunities to speak for the Lord. God will always be arranging opportunities for you to reach lost people because He wants to reach lost people, and He gives you the privilege. He invites you and I to be involved with Him to rescue the perishing. It's a wonderful, wonderful teamwork that we have with the Holy Spirit. So, that's how He's leading on our end. But you know what? We may not even realize it, but God's also leading in the hearts and lives of lost people. While we're supposed to be conscious of His leading, they probably aren't. Lost people are probably not right away conscious that God's at work in their life, but often there's a gradual consciousness that comes upon them. God puts an inner dissatisfaction in the hearts of lost people at times, and they become increasingly aware that something is missing, that they have a feeling of emptiness and a growing spiritual hunger to fill that aching void within their soul. God does that. That's His leading in lost people, and they don't recognize it at first. You know, this Ethiopian man, he's an African, but he's also a eunuch. Now, we're all adults here. So, while I wouldn't talk about this perhaps with children, a eunuch is someone, was a man that was completely emasculated. Okay? And in the Old Testament, for instance, Deuteronomy chapter 23, a man that was emasculated could not worship at the temple because that usually was related to some pagan idolatrous practice. And so here's this eunuch, but yet he had gone up to Jerusalem to worship. And he was reading in Isaiah 53. Well, did you know just three chapters over past Isaiah 53 in Isaiah chapter 56, maybe this guy got some encouragement. Maybe the Lord was leading in this man's life. Maybe he read these verses. But in Isaiah 56:3, it says, "Neither let the son of the stranger that hath joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, The Lord hath utterly separated me from His people. Neither let the eunuch say, Behold, I am a dried tree. For thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths and choose the things that please me and take hold of my covenant, even unto them will I give in mine house and within my walls a place and a name better than sons and daughters. Will I give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off." And he goes on to say, "I will bring them to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altars, for mine house shall be called an house of prayer for all people." Now that's relating to a time in the future, in the kingdom. However, don't you think that if this eunuch was reading Isaiah 53, that his scroll may have had Isaiah 56 as well in it? And maybe that's what encouraged him to go to Jerusalem to worship at the feast anyway. But the fact of the matter is, what I'm saying is simply that God was preparing this man. God was leading this man. God was leading this man, and he was searching. He was looking for some hope. And here in the Scripture, perhaps he found hope for eunuchs right there in that passage. Because God's leading. You don't know what God's doing in that person's life. Perhaps the person that opposes you the most, God is leading and God is working in that person's life. Maybe they're just testing you to see if you will really follow through and if you really care for them and if God really loves them. Maybe they're just testing God through you to see if God will persevere with them to reach them. And so the person that you think is a hopeless case is perhaps the one that God is working in the most, and you don't even know it. God leads. Here's a second fact that comes out that I think filters into this idea of divine appointments, and that is preparing. And there's some overlap here. But God is preparing, and God is at work in both the the believer, and God's at work preparing the unbeliever prior to them even being connected together. Prior to God connecting them in His leading, He's already preparing them for that meeting. The believer, you read about this man Philip. He first appears in Acts chapter 6 and verse 3. He's one of those original seven men that we call deacons that the church in Jerusalem brought to do the service for those widows. And the Bible describes these men as men that were Spirit-filled. They were Spirit-filled men. And so when we talk about divine appointments, we cannot consider that without realizing that if you have divine appointments and you recognize it, it will come as a result of you being under the Spirit's influence. Spirit-led. Spirit-filled. The Holy Spirit filled this man, and his heart was prepared with an evangelistic burden. Look, if you really get the filling of the Holy Spirit, you are going to have a deep burden to reach people for Jesus Christ. If you are not Spirit-filled, you won't care about lost souls. You'll care about a lot of other things, mundane things, but you won't care about reaching people with the gospel. You can't be Spirit-filled and not care about lost souls. It's impossible. And so this man was filled with the Spirit, and the Spirit of God prepared his heart with a burden for the lost, for all people. In fact, the first group that he went to were the Samaritans, which were half-breeds in the minds of the Jews. They were half-Jewish and half-Samaritans. And the Bible says in John chapter 4 that the Jews were prejudiced against the Samaritans, and they didn't want anything to do with the Samaritans. But here's a guy that went to Samaria to preach the gospel, a Jewish man that went to Samaria, first of all, to preach the gospel. What does that tell you? The guy is just burdened. He's filled with the Spirit, and when you're filled with the Spirit, you're not prejudiced. He's just burdened for people of all nationalities to be saved. And he's prepared to share the gospel across cultures. Now, that might seem like no big deal for us here in New York City. But there's a lot of people in middle America, they don't know people of different cultures like we do. They don't mix with them like we do. It's an everyday experience for us, so it's no big deal. But look, when we're talking about people that are just clannish like this and so forth, this is big. And so that's how God prepares people to reach lost people. You can't be prejudiced against certain people groups and win people to Jesus Christ. It doesn't work that way. You have to love them all. You have to want to reach them all. You can't write any of them off. They're all people that God loves. And He proved that love because He loves the world. He loves all races and nationalities of people. I hate to use that word race because I don't believe that there are races. I think there's one race. It's called the human race, and we just have different nationalities. But we're all one race, and God wants to reach the human race with the gospel. And so He prepares the witness, but He also prepares the lost person. And this is the overlap from God leading. He prepares them by making them search, by putting a seeking desire in their heart. Here's this guy. He's traveled from Ethiopia, which was called the land south of Egypt, to Jerusalem to worship. Well, do you know that that round trip would have taken anywhere from 3 to 4 months? The guy must have been a real seeker because he traveled all that distance. And also, when Philip finds him, he has Scripture in his hands. Now, to own a scroll with Scripture, which would have been handwritten, you had to have some money. So this guy was wealthy. He was up there in the Egyptian government, okay? He was the treasurer, secretary of treasury, I guess we would call him. But he had taken his money and he had purchased, we could say, a copy of the Word of God. And he was reading the Bible, if we could just put it down on our level of understanding here. So he's seeking. He's making this trek all the way to Jerusalem. He's reading God's Word. This guy is, he's reaching out to God. He's seeking God. He's wanting something for his heart. And witnessing, I believe, is most effective when we witness to people who God has already softened their hearts. God has already prepared them. And God connects us with them. That's the kind of person I love to be connected with. That God's already been working. We didn't know it, but God's already softened them and opened them up, and they've been seeking. And then God, boom, He connects you with that person, and they're ready. I had that experience just a week or two ago. And it was so wonderful. This person, I had never witnessed to this person before, but this person had been seeking, and I didn't know it. And boom, when I presented the gospel, that person said, "Yes, I want that," and took it. So there's that leading of the Spirit. There's that preparing. Here's a third thing that I think goes into divine appointments, and that's obeying. Are you willing to launch out into the deep, so to speak? Are you willing to take the plunge because you're depending upon God at that moment to give you the words to say? You don't have to be a conversationalist. You don't have to be an orator. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. You simply need to be Spirit-filled and dependent upon God to use your mouth. Who made your mouth? Don't you think the one that made your mouth can use your mouth to speak to people? And so, obey. And that obedience on our part is based on our trusting God, that He's able to use us, that He has led us, and that we can obey. And the key to being used as a witness is that God is leading you, and He always brings you to the point where you have to take that plunge, where you have to step out in faith. God, here goes. Help me. You know, you're trusting Him. It's based on trust. You know, got to start sometime. Can't expect the other person to always witness, and not you. You know, you got to tell them. And opportunities come up just in walking down the sidewalk. What an open conversation our brother shared with us tonight. You believe there's life after death? Boom, there's the open door. That guy's thinking. He's wondering. He's wanting hope for the future. In the heart of every human being, there's that basic knowledge that this isn't all there is. There's more. I'm made immortal. So there's that obeying. And it starts, I think one of the best things to do is what Philip did. Start by answering their questions. Well, I've been reading this. Who's this about? Who's the prophet talking about here? Himself or some other man? So you can start by dealing with their questions and use the Bible as your basis for authority, as Philip did. And it says he preached unto him Jesus. Focus on Jesus. Focus on Christ. And then one final thing, because I'm trying to go through this quickly. The fourth thing. So divine appointment. Leading, God's leading, preparing, God's preparing, both ends, you and the other person, obeying, okay, and then enabling. God is at work in both. God is at work in both. This thing, enabling, in other words, the power that you need to be His witness in these divine appointments. God is at work in both. His enabling. He will fill the witness with the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit and you have a witnessing opportunity, it just flows. And you know it's not you. It doesn't matter how well you know your stuff. It doesn't matter how often you've done this. You know when the Holy Spirit is filling you and those rivers of living water are just flowing out of you. And it's God. It's God doing it. And you'll come into a closer walk with God and you'll experience Him accomplishing His work through you if you would step out in faith and depend upon Him. So there's that enabling of the witness. But let me tell you a second thing, and this often we forget. God also enables the hearer. God enables the hearer to be filled. To be filled with conviction. To be filled with understanding. And as a result, then you have the opportunity to having presented the truth to invite them to respond. Don't make the mistake of not inviting people after you give them the gospel to trust Jesus right then and there. Now, they may not want to, they may not be ready to, but boy, you better seek a response. Why bother if you don't seek a response? And so, you don't force them, obviously, but if they've been under conviction by the Holy Spirit of God and they understand the truth of the gospel, then always invite a response. Divine appointments. You should be looking for them every day. Faith really is the basis of all of this. That is, that you are convinced by God that He's leading you and that He's leading them, whoever them are. That He is preparing you and that He is preparing them. That He can use you. And I want to challenge you to desire to have regular divine appointments on a daily basis. Divine appointments. To pray and ask God to prepare you for them as you faithfully read His Word, study it, and apply that Bible in your daily life. I want you to pray, learn to pray and ask God to lead you and to connect you to people who He's drawing, who are seeking God. He'll do that. You want Him to? I want you to be on the lookout for opportunities to see Him and then trust God to empower you, to use you. I want to close with this illustration. I read a story, a true one, about a young Christian named Mark, who made it a weekly practice to hand out gospel tracts from door to door. And one day he stopped at a house and he rang the doorbell and no one answered. And Mark, he could hear some muffled sounds coming from inside the house. And so he knew someone was home, so he kept ringing the doorbell, and after several rings, a guy finally threw the door open, took the tract without even saying a word, and slammed the door, and Mark walked away, and he prayed. He prayed for that man. He prayed that that man would open his heart to the gospel message in that tract, and he moved along to the next house. A week or so later, he made a follow-up visit to that same neighborhood. He hesitated at the house where that man had just rudely slammed the door, having taken the track. And finally, he took a deep breath and he rang the doorbell. This time, the man answered almost immediately. And to Mark's surprise, he told him, "Come on in," enthusiastically. And the man practically dragged Mark inside and up the steps to the attic. And when Mark saw that there was a rope hanging from a rafter with a noose and a wooden box under it, it almost took his breath away. The man said, "Friend, when you rang that doorbell last week, my head was in that noose. And I was ready to jump. But you kept ringing that doorbell. You were so persistent that I decided to go down and see who it was. And after receiving your tract, I read it because the title was interesting to me. And God spoke to my heart through it. And instead of jumping off the box, I knelt down beside it and I received Jesus as my Savior. You see, for the believer, even when we don't know it, everything is a divine appointment. Everything. Don't forget that. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that You